Hi, this is Josh with the Inside Selling Podcast, a podcast about selling without selling your soul. Today we got a good one. Jennifer Deer and Samantha Plu from D3 NYC, who are experts at creating first impressions with strangers that have no idea who they are in an effort to start conversations with them. Jennifer and Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh.
Hi, thank you.
So let's talk a little, let's frame this up a little bit in terms of the big problem. And the big problem people are trying to solve for in this day and age, it's so crowded and so difficult to break through the noise. People are cold calling and they're sending emails and they're looking for ways to be able to separate themselves from all the noise to start conversations. And Jennifer, Sam, would love to hear your perspective on this. Why do you think it's so hard today to break through the clutter?
Great question. There's proliferation of product. There is so much competition in every category right now that it's like a cacophony of noise, and it creates a lot of anxiety for business people and consumers alike. I think that a lot of people just want to turn off the noise and are finding ways to do that. Unfortunately, that's negatively affecting the business people that are trying to get their message through. And it's becoming a problem over time, getting worse and worse.
Totally. And I think that is magnified nowadays with people sending first touches that are not memorable. These are templates that pretty much everyone's using. And yeah, it's never been easier to substitute in your value proposition to an 8-touch email sequence. And as my mom said, and Jennifer and Sam, maybe your mom as well, you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. And so what we want to talk about today is to do something a little bit different and think of your teams as creative agencies, which is why we're talking to D3. My hypothesis is I think in the future, sales prospecting is going to become much more creative. We're going to have teams of people in a room, much like agencies do, to think about how to get in front of people. And we're going to be taking a look at the talent that's in the teams. Maybe there's someone that sings. Maybe there's someone that does magic. Maybe there's someone that's good at arts and crafts, to think about how we can create a first impression that is going to be memorable and stand out. So Jennifer and Sam, let's talk a little bit about first impressions. When a client comes to you, and we can just maybe pick one, how do you start to think about, what's the sort of first step that you go through in order to craft that first impression?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the biggest part of what we do is understanding what a client's needs are. I think it's the one thing you can't give anyone back is time. You can give people a lot of things, but time is not one of them. So we do a lot of work early in the process and upfront to make sure that we really understand what a client's needs are, so that we can be as efficient as possible, and respectful of their time. We dive in pretty deep to understand the product, to understand what they're doing, what their business goals are. When I started working for Jen years ago, one of the first things that she dropped on me was the old adage of don't ever try to sell me this pen unless you've written with this pen. And that's where we dive in early on, is to make sure that we really understand a client's product. We sign up for their services. We buy on their websites. We use, you know, we have a beauty business we're working with now. We get blowouts done for our employees so that everybody understands what the experience is. And in doing that, you're going to be better at whatever creative you execute, because it's going to be tied to the core of what they're doing.
The other thing that I'd add, Sam summed it up really well, is that we often go out on sales calls. Historically, we've been drivers on trucks selling Nestle waters. Selling and delivering Nestle waters. We've been behind the counter in fast food chains. You name it, we've done it. It's important to see how this better salespeople or all the salespeople go about a sales call and talking to customers.
So I love what you're saying here. It really ties back to at the heart of selling is empathy. And if you're a new SDR coming out of college, that's a challenge, right? Because I've never walked in the shoes of a chief marketing officer. I don't know what the day in the life of is of this particular person that I'm reaching out to. And so do you guys have any ideas if you were just starting out and you're a salesperson and you have to get inside the head of the person that you're reaching out to and understand the company, what are some of the things that, you know, salespeople, SDRs, people that are, you know, starting fresh out of college might be able to do to better understand the prospect's world?
I'd say there are three things. First is do your homework, however painful homework was in school. And that means find out about your customer, find out about your product. Do the heavy lifting, do the homework. I am appalled when I get an email, and I get them daily, where the beginning is, I guess you're very busy. Maybe I'm sitting there sunning myself. Why do you guess I'm very busy? I see that your agency does such and such. If you're not doing your homework, you had me at hello, it's goodbye. The next thing is don't assume anything, which I think I covered in the first. Don't assume that business is running a certain way, my goals are what you think. Again, I guess do your homework and assume are closely tied. And the last thing is to listen, to be solicitous. To many salespeople call on a prospect and ask them what they're having issues with in a specific area. Or they go on forums and listen to what's going on with certain customers.
Yeah, I love that. And from a sales development perspective, one thing you could do as well is you could ask your team, your boss, if you could speak to some customers, right?
Yeah.
And just chat with them a little bit about what their day is like, just to get yourself immersed in it. So Sam, we've taken one of your clients and we understand a little bit about their business and the types of customers they serve. And more importantly, I would imagine how they make their customers' life better in some way. So once you understand, and maybe we could talk about a specific case. Once you understand how they make their customers' life better in some way, what comes next? And if you want to get specific, that would be awesome too, so we can get a little more crispy here.
Sure. I think, you know, once we have that understanding of what's going on and what their goals are, we have to figure out that way to break through the clutter. One of our favorite examples is a program we did for a company called Conversant a few years back. It was a campaign that was going out to over 8,000 media buyers across the United States. And we talked to their salespeople at Conversant and said, what's the problem? Like, why can't you get a hold of these media buyers? And they told us flat out, the issue is these are a bunch of millennials that don't have desk phones. And we email them and they don't respond to our emails, but we can't get them on the phone. And we know if we could get them on the phone, we could sell them our product because they need it. So we mailed them phones. We put 8,000 prepaid half-charged burner phones in the mail, and they hit the desks of over 8,000 media buyers the morning that Conversant relisted and rang the bell on a NASDAQ, and the phones started ringing. they got them on the phone, and the close rate was insane. It was just... They were right. They were like, if we can get these people on the phone, we can sell them our stuff. And so we got them on the phone, and it went from there.
Was there like a specific note, do you remember, that went with, like, so you sent a phone in like a package. Was there like a note or some creative messaging that went with that?
Yeah. So it was a pretty, it was a pretty detailed process on this. So the salespeople were each given a list of their contacts that they were going after. Each contact had a phone number, so they know who to call and who they're speaking to when they dial that number. We weren't just dialing random numbers saying, who is this? The package came with an inner office envelope that was distributed by mailrooms on people's desks. So they weren't arriving in a FedEx package. They were arriving as envelopes on their desk when they arrived at work that morning. And then inside of that envelope was the phone, along with a pamphlet that said, when this phone rings, pick it up and you're guaranteed to win a prize. The prize offerings were pretty lucrative. They ranged anywhere from a Roku to, I think, $5,000 in Uber rides or a trip to the Bahamas. But everybody was guaranteed to win as long as you answered the phone and took a business meeting. When the business meeting took place, the exchange was the prize for the phone, which we then recycled the phones and donated that money to charity. So there was a lot that was in this to for the reasoning of why you should take a call. It was a pretty lucrative offer.
How did you get that distributed through the inner office memo? Did you like physically bring these? Like, how did that? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. The research that was done up front was so deep. All of the prospects, all 8,000 prospects were qualified. Is this person still at MediaLink? Is this person at a large agency or a small agency? And based on that information, all appended to a database, we knew whether there was a sophisticated mailroom or a part-time receptionist that was going to hand this out. And those people were actually contacted and rewarded to a lesser degree to comply by handing these out at exactly the time they were to be supposed to be handed out, that coincided, as Sam said, with the relisting of Conversant on the NASDAQ.
Got it. That is intricate. And I know what my audience is thinking now, like, oh my God, that sounds really expensive. But I want to talk a bit more about this because it's the thought process. Not everything has to be as intricate in terms of a first touch. If everyone out there is familiar with Dale Dupree, he's a copier salesman and he sends people sponges that are painted red that look like a brick. And the note says, if you're like most people, you're frustrated with your copier and want to throw a brick at it sometimes, but you can't because it would cause thousands of dollars worth of damage. Well, with this brick, you can. You know, so that's a very creative, low budget, guerrilla way to be able to make a great first impression. I want to talk a little bit more about that with you, Jennifer and Sam. Any other examples of more guerrilla-ish tactics that you've used in other lives or a D3 that are a little bit more scrappy, I guess, but still creative?
Yes. Years ago, we did campaigns for what was an independent Oxford Healthcare, and they were going out to small, what are often classified as micro businesses under 14 lives, meaning they had 14 or less employees. And we, in order to get their attention, we sent a Stretch Armstrong, if you remember those little dolls. They were, yes, Stretch Armstrong. And they're addictive. You get one and you end up playing with it all day long as you go about your work. They were really inexpensive, especially if you bought them in bulk. And we sent out a little Stretch Armstrong with a letter in a jet pack, what I used to call a jet pack, these little packs that go through the mail and protect whatever's inside. And the letter said, it's hard to stretch your budget to cover health care for your employees. We've got a better way to do it. Meet Stretch Armstrong. And the rest was history. We did tons of programs for Oxford, all in that vein, with just a small desk item or a small gift that had a theme. A lot of it is tongue in cheek. And that's something to think about if you can see a way into a company's prospects that has a fun element to it that just feels, makes somebody feel good for a little while. We have one client that always says food is what does it. And we've done a candy and potato chip program with them that people still talk about, where we just send out chips. We actually sent out chips to the gatekeeper saying, give this to your boss. And after your boss, not your boss, but your supervisor or the VP, and after he or she unwraps it, then you can put it out for everybody.
Yes.
And that went over really well.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. These are touches to make people feel good. And I would add, just, it's not so much a company, right? You're actually talking to a person. And nowadays with LinkedIn, you can find that person that you think would be receptive to these types of you know, first touches. The other interesting thing here too with these first touches is it makes the second touch so much warmer, because if you were to follow up that Stretch Armstrong first touch with a cold call, for instance, for all you SDRs out there, you might say something like, hey, this is Josh, I'm the one that sent you the Stretch Armstrong.
That's a very good point.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
That's a great point. That's what the salespeople in so many situations that we've been involved in want. They want an icebreaker. They want to be able to get in and again, put a smile on someone's face in recalling that they got this thing that they're still playing with on their desk.
Love
it. Versus, I sent you a letter yesterday, or I sent you a brochure, sounding like everybody else, and again, being part of the noise that's out there as opposed to breaking free of the noise.
Yeah, having a little fun and dare I say, being just a human being. Sam, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have any gorilla-ish things that come to mind that you've done first impression-wise? We'd love to get one more in before we wrap up here.
No, but I do from years ago, not here at the agency, but in a position that I had in Atlanta, we had a sales guy that used to send out the don't break the ice game, which is a literal icebreaker. And that was his thing. He would attach logo stickers to each piece of ice within the game and then mail those out to different contacts he was trying to get in and, you know, putting the whole let's break the ice sort of spin on it. He did that for years and it worked out really well for him. Jen had mentioned earlier talking about how we went out to the receptionists at other places, and I think that's a good point to touch on, is that I think often salespeople get really tied up in going after the decision maker. They kind of laser focus in on this is the decision maker, this is the person that's going to sign the contract. Very important to get a hold of that person and identify who that is, but I think it's just as important to keep in mind who the influencers are around that decision maker. If you're not connecting with those people as well, those are eventually going to be the people that once you get in there, your colleagues that are not on the sales side are going to be working with day to day. So whatever you're selling in, they have to deliver on. And those are probably going to be the people that they're working hand in hand with. So I think it's just as important to start that relationship building at the prospect stage, so that you're setting your team up for success as those deals close and you move forward. And then, you know, you're continuing to grow a network of people that will eventually be at other companies and give you referrals and help you build your business that way.
Man, I love that point, Sam. It's certainly something that I've done a lot in my career. And a tactical example of that is if you bump into an administrative assistant that you found very helpful and that's been, you know, helpful for you, and it's an authentic compliment, you can compliment her to the person that is managing her or him in a very authentic way. And I've also said, you know, you should, you know, give this person a bonus, access to the corporate jet, keys to the gym, and that always gets a thank you. And it always has to be genuine. You really can't fake that. So this idea of leveraging the so-called gatekeeper and complimenting them and working with them instead of trying to get around them, I think is an excellent point.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, and you never know. I mean, when you're walking in these large buildings and you're standing in the lobby and you're getting a coffee next door, you never know who's around. You never know who's observing you. You never know, you know, holding the door for somebody, you might realize turns out to be the, you know, the gatekeeper and the person that's going to be able to really rally for you and help you get in and find your way around an organization. So I think, you know, regardless of who it is or what their position is or where they're at within the rankings, it's incredibly important to be respectful and nice to everyone that you meet.
Yeah, take a page out of Wall Street. When Bud Fox was trying to see Gordon Gekko, he had to get through the gatekeeper first and look at that movie for reference. This has been awesome. Hey, in order to pull this off, here's a tactical idea for everyone out there. We mentioned this a little bit earlier. Think of yourself like D3. Get in a room, not just with salespeople, but get in there with people from marketing, maybe people from IT, maybe you have writers, you know, different types of people. Get 5 or 6 people in a room. Do, as Ryan O'Hara says, a talent audit. You know, what kind of talents do the people in your company have? And then get in a room and think about how you can help the company do something better and a creative first touch, and then execute on that. So think of yourself as mini prospecting agencies rather than SDRs filling out templates, especially for your dream clients. Jennifer, Sam, you guys have been awesome. Thank you so much for the awesome tactical tips and for jumping on the program today.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.